Gina Kaufman, the the mythical Miss Gina K from Storytelling with Miss Gina K, whose Save the Bones Stories About Meat will be Thursday, August 27th at the Brick in Kansas City. Thank you very much for joining us at Lawrence.com.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, for those who aren't familiar with it, what is Storytelling with Miss Gina K? Is it kind of like an adult reading rainbow or something?
You know, it's kind of what people do naturally when they go out. You know, you go somewhere with a group of friends, whether it's just your front porch or a bar or wherever you and your friends happen to congregate. But what you may notice happening is that you and your friends sit around telling stories to each other. You interrupt each other all the time. Maybe you didn't hear the end of a single story, and you're hearing the same people talk all the time, which is great. That's how you get to know people. And, you know, we tell the same stories over and over again, and our friends get to know those stories and love them. But what I really enjoy about the storytelling events is it's basically my effort to open up a room where that's already happening, the Brick. It's a pretty popular hangout downtown, and I try to give people a chance to do what they do with their own friends, but with a totally different group of people. And maybe they're people they've seen around town, they know a thing or two about. But it's a sort of, in my mind, a partly artistic / literary event and a partly community building kind of event.
Hmm.
I mean, not as self-conscious as all that. It's just sort of what has happened is, it's just what human beings do, but we tend to do it only with people we know and are really comfortable with, and it's a great opportunity to know your town better, to do that with people you don't know, maybe.
Yeah. So it's kind of like maybe spoken word combined with stand-up comedy, but long form and maybe not quite as alienating to social conservatives.
You know, what I would say is that it's actually so much, I think it's funny that people kind of struggle to understand what it is and compare it to things that I think are actually much harder to understand than storytelling. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just people telling stories, and the theme is all that connects, the theme and the fact that we're all here in this place together, that's what connects the people telling those stories. And maybe some of their approaches would look more like spoken word, and maybe some of them would look more like stand-up comedy. But what I'm really going for is something very traditional and very old-fashioned, and it's just people telling tales and weaving yarns and doing so in as unselfconscious a way as possible. They are rehearsed, and there is some art to it. I do require all of my storytellers to tell stories that have a beginning, middle, and end. But beyond that, it's pretty free, but it's pretty traditional.
And since it is rehearsed, I'm assuming it's not open mic, like not just anybody can stumble up there and start talking about, you know, the fishing trip they took last weekend.
No, but the idea is really that, and this is actually what happens, as cheesy as it may sound, people sit there and listen for a while. They're not really long events, and they're not very formal. So by the end of it, just like what happens in real life where you're listening to people tell stories, you think of a story from your own life. It just pops in your head, and you're like, oh, man, that was like this one time when this happened to me. And people really do start doing that immediately when the events end, and that's intended, and that's really the one of the more exciting parts of it for me, is that it turns into this room full of people all just sitting there sharing stuff with each other that they probably wouldn't have otherwise.
Hmm. And who are some of the storytellers that we'll see at Save the Bones?
Well, you've got one from Lawrence, Sarah Smarsh. I don't know. She has written for Lawrence.com, in fact, and she used to be my assistant when I worked at The Pitch. And she is a brilliant, brilliant writer, and if it is possible for her live, spontaneous, verbal performances to be more brilliant than her writing, they are. She was in one of these other events for me about a year ago, and she was just fantastic. She will be, I will be finding out more about the details of her story later, but without spoiling too much, I'll just say Sarah grew up on a farm and has a lot of firsthand experience.
Say no more, say no more.
And then the other storytellers are all from Kansas City. Well, with one exception, which is the only pre-recorded element of this show, novelist and documentary filmmaker Ruth Ozeki, who lives part-time in New York and part-time in Canada. She has done for me an exclusive special reading of part of her novel, which is called My Year of Meat. And that's based loosely on her own story, but very loosely. It is fictionalized. She's a Japanese-American woman who writes about a Japanese-American woman who is a documentarian and has been hired by a Japanese meat promotion company to make a monthly documentary about an American family, a real American family, that culminates in the wife of the family preparing a meat dish. And the idea is to market American meats in Japan to Japanese housewives. So she does a reading in the voice of one of the Japanese wives listening or watching the television show, and then she does part of the reading in the voice of the Japanese-American woman who is making these little vignettes.
Hmm.
Okay, so those are the two who aren't from Kansas City. The rest are, we've got Maria Carter, and she does, you know, newscasts. She also grew up in the Ozarks and tells, I would say, an Ozarkian meat tale. We have, let's see, Hector Casanova, who is an illustrator and comics artist. He grew up in Mexico and then moved to the United States and now frequently visits Mexico. So it's sort of a, I would say, an international meat tale.
It's a NAFTA meat story.
Yeah, it's meat on either side of the border, and eating and not eating it both occur.
That's the super highway that links Mexico and the United States. That super highway is built of meat.
Yes, it's paved, if you will.
It's paved with meat.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got Sonia Andrews. She used to sing with the After Party. She's been with a few different bands. She works for Review Publications, and she's an artist and designer. She's going to be telling a story, sort of the classic reformed vegetarian tale. Though I should say that this event takes no stance on the consumption of meat. I know a lot of people have jumped to the conclusion that it's either an anti-meat event or a celebration of meat event, and it's really neither one. It's just meat is something that, whether you want to or not, you definitely come in contact with it in life, and so it works nicely as a theme. People have strong reactions to it, generally speaking.
Yeah, and how exactly did you stumble across meat as a topic? What makes meat? Well, you already touched about it, like everybody does encounter it in their daily lives. But how did you settle on meat as the theme for this particular storytelling?
You know, in the past, I've done mostly pretty general themes and let the storytellers make the themes really concrete and specific by their selection of stories, So some of those themes have included pursuit, which was a theme for a Valentine's Day storytelling. Let's see, I've done power, stories about power, who holds all the cards and why and how and what do they do with it. That event was called Tell 'em Large Marge Sent You. let's see, what other ones? Anyway, they've all been pretty general for the most part, but one time I got kind of, I don't know what made me do this, but I decided to take something really specific and see what would happen. And the theme that time was clowns. I just said clowns. And people were really confused, rightly so. And as I went on preparing for it, I started noticing clown things a lot more than I previously had. And I also started thinking, my thinking about clowns became more abstract and general as I thought about it more. And it turned out to be one of, I think, the better events I've done. And so it's been a while since that one, and I just got to thinking I'd like to do something really specific again and see what people do with it and see what kind of actually general meaning does turn out to result from it. And meat has already had that effect on me just in whenever I go around with flyers for an event or telling people what I've got coming up. I always get in response from any individual a story. I mean, it's just a natural tendency. So the stories I've already gotten from people in response to my saying I'm doing stories about meat have really made me think about a lot of things, and I'm looking forward to that phenomenon happening for the audience as well.
Hmm. And you mentioned in sort of the blurb for the event that Kansas City is a very meat-centric town.
It is.
Why do you think that is? What makes Kansas City, you know, sort of like the meat capital of the United States? Is it just a manlier city than the other cities in the United States?
Well, you know, it's funny you should say, is it manlier? Because that brings me to one of the things I've been thinking about, which is that, you know, cooking is considered this, typically, I think, this very sort of feminine domestic thing, but meat is the huge exception to that, you know,
yeah.
Like throwing a slab of meat on the grill, cutting the turkey at Thanksgiving.
That's the cooking that men feel comfortable with.
Well, it's not just comfortable. Like, those are considered displays of manliness.
They're dominating the meat.
You know, it's just kind of an interesting thing, but no, I don't know why that is. I mean, geographically, I guess we are surrounded by cattle territory. I don't know if that explains it. I mean, I think at this point, for better or worse, geography has a lot less to do with what we eat than it used to. But I think culturally, over generations, there's just it's just a tradition, and there are a lot of people here in Kansas City who take a lot of pride in local tradition. So, you know, like the pride that Kansas City takes in its sports teams and jazz and all of those other things that kind of define it. I would say that, you know, the American Royal is right up there, and our steakhouses and our barbecue, you know, and so people just, it's almost like a civic pride thing, I would say, but I can't say for sure.
Yeah.
Cookouts are fun.
No, they're a good deal of fun. Are you yourself a meat eater, a carnivore?
You know, I have had some time in my life as a vegetarian. I'm not a vegetarian right now, but I don't judge anyone for their stance on meat. I think that meat is, you'll have to forgive me if I speak a little kind of like in an over-the-top way about meat, but because I am doing this event, I've been thinking about
sure.
it so much. And I think that meat and decisions about whether to eat it or not, or decisions about what we eat in general, are so much more personal than people give them credit for, and there's so many more factors that go into it, from health to economics to, you know, culture, whatever, I mean, to just sort of instinct. So I have been both a vegetarian and a meat eater in my life, and I am neutral on anyone's decision.
So you're actually the perfect MC for this event.
Yeah.
You straddle both worlds, or have straddled both worlds.
I neither endorse nor condemn the consumption of meat.
Although I noticed that... which some vegetarians might consider rubbing their noses in it. I noticed that there's going to be an array of hot dogs available at the event at the break.
But I should point out, yes, and I'm really excited about this array of hot dogs, because I have had hot dogs prepared by Sherry Parr at the Brick before, and they're fantastic.
Right.
But in addition to, and she's pretty creative with it too, some of these selections she has there are definitely not your run-of-the-mill hot dog selections, but she also is making all of those hot dogs available in veggie dog form. She went to great lengths to procure veggie dogs, and she's preparing vegetarian chili so that anyone who wants the chili dog, I mean, you can actually at this event get a vegetarian hot dog with vegetarian chili on it and have the most meaty, really, I mean, it's meat on meat, chili dog, but you can get it
meat
in
on
vegetarian
meat action.
Form.
Minus the meat. what's your personal favorite hot dog? Like style-wise, Chicago style or chili dog, Coney? What do you think?
You know, of the selection on there, I am really excited to try the Reuben hot dog, because I do like Reuben sandwiches, but the place where I used to get my favorite Reuben sandwich has closed down. So, you know, maybe, and the hard thing about finding a good Reuben sandwich is getting meat that is really thinly sliced, because, like, thick deli meat just grosses me out.
That will get stuck in your teeth, and you will be sucking it all day.
Just not good. So maybe just changing the form of the meat altogether on the Reuben is the solution I've been looking for. So the Reuben hot dog just might be for me.
Yes, that's another one of the wonders of meat. It's so versatile. It can be in deli slice form or in tube form.
Yep.
Going back to the sort of potentially polarizing nature of it, why is it? It's kind of an obvious answer, but why is it that meat is eliciting such an array of responses, and why is it potentially such a polarizing topic?
You know, it's kind of shocking to me how polarizing it is. I mean, not how polarizing the broad topic of it is, but that me saying that that's a theme for sort of an artistic deal, that people even react strongly just to that and assume that there is an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
That was surprising to me, and I think it's because people are talking so much right now about the politics of food. It is a really hot topic, and I've been wanting to do one on meat, actually, for quite some time. And I think had I done it sooner, it might not have been this way. I'm not sure, but it's just very much a part of what people are talking about right now, knowing where your food comes from and understanding it in non-abstract terms. Understanding, I mean, and that's not just to do with meat, but I think that people who love meat are probably a little, you know, have some exposed nerves because of that, and I think people who don't, who are sort of anti-meat, are probably really excited and, you know, also just living in a place that is so extreme about meat, if you're a vegetarian in this area,
you probably feel besieged.
Yeah, or you're used to defending. Yeah. And if you love meat, you're used to celebrating. And, you know, the idea that someone could talk about meat without doing either of those things, I think is really foreign to most people, that it's just, you know, something that is a part of our culture and that we have, I mean, and it's something that I guess most people do at some point in their lives have to sit down and make a decision about. And that's not true of everything.
So it's probably safe to say that meat is politically a more explosive topic than clowns.
Yeah, but you know what's funny is that at the time I was really thinking about clowns on a fairly political level. And I won't say why.
I was thinking about
clowns more politically than I've been thinking about meat, I'll put it that way.
I can only imagine the nightmares you were having during that period of time.
Well, you know, the thing about clowns is that originally their role was sort of like, you know, the late-night talk show host or it was the satirist before there was television, kind of, you know. It was a person in the community who imitated people with power and mocked them in a way that was recognizable to the other people in a small community, and they would sort of shame politicians or whoever had power in the community into modifying their behavior.
Hmm.
And I don't think we have today probably the same need for the traditional clown to perform that function, but yeah, it did get me kind of thinking about politics.
they've sort of evolved from social satirists to a potential serial killer in the nation's consciousness, in the world's consciousness.
Yeah, and I did have a professional clown tell a story, and it was really unexpectedly hilarious.
But those are topics past. Now we need to focus on meat. No, my fault.
Don't get me started on clowns.
Don't even get me started on clowns. What are you... I mean, you've heard, I think, most of the stories already, but what are you hoping to come out of Save the Bones stories about meat at the next storytelling? What do you think, what are you hoping is going to be the sort of ideal environment?
You know, my answer to that has absolutely nothing to do with meat. It's just that I hope people hear a lot of good stories, think about things differently, maybe, than they had before. Not necessarily differently, but in more detail. And not, again, you know, meat makes an appearance in all of the stories, but hopefully all of the stories, whether meat plays a large or small role, ultimately are about something else, something human. And I think my hope is that people leave feeling like they were in a room with other human beings which sounds so simple, but I think we do that less and less. And I think what I've noticed after these events is that people get sort of energized by that, and I'm hoping and looking forward to that happening again.
Hmm. And hopefully people can come together over hot dogs.
Yeah, and, you know, if hot dogs aren't your thing, whatever.
There's got to be some good stories.
I certainly understand that. It's really about the stories, but this theme having, you know, a food-related hook, you know, it is in a place that serves food, so we decided to capitalize on that and just, for lack of a better expression, go whole hog.
I always love ending podcasts on a pun. So
I hate puns. I'm so sorry to have done that.
That's all right. It's kind of a sick addiction. I notice myself lapsing into it without even realizing it, so I forgive you. Well, Gina Kaufman, the actual Miss Gina K of Storytelling with Miss Gina K, whose Save the Bones Stories About Meat will be Thursday, August 27th at the Brick in Kansas City. Thank you very much for joining us at Lawrence.com.
Thank you.